So I'm here in my favourite interview location, which is Pavilion Gardens Cafe at Brighton. And we're going to talk about a very interesting, I think it's a kind of performance. And I'm not saying it's only a piece of theatre, because it also, we're going to hear about other kind of media that you're using. And I'm here with Simon James. And my first question to you, Simon, is have you ever seen a ghost?
Well, I really wanted to. And I've had experiences that I could say, yeah, maybe it was a ghost. But I don't know. It's that's a difficult question to answer, because I think anyone that's seen a ghost is never quite sure whether it's, you know, imagination or some other thing. And I'm cynical enough. I've got a cynical side that makes me question that side of things. So do you want me to tell you about the experience?
Yeah, and I guess I'm going to reveal my secret. And my secret is, you know, as a performer, I'm quite interested in how you deal with your position in relation to material like this. You know, say if you're a cynic about it and you're going to perform, you know, how do you make sure that that doesn't colour the performance in a way you don't want it to? But we'll come to that. Yeah. So yeah, tell me about your experience.
Well, it will become clear why I feel a bit unsure about this, because it's very easily could have been a dream, but it felt very, very realistic. And maybe I was sleepwalking, I don't know. But anyway, my partner was away on work, travelling, and she was due back the next day. And my bedroom was in the attic, and I was awake, and I could see the doorway, and I saw a figure come round and then go back. And I thought, oh, my partner must have come home. So I got up out of bed, and when I looked around the corner, there was just a figure in the corner of the stairway, just looking, and then it disappeared. It was just standing just like that in the corner. And then shortly after, another figure moved across the bedroom again, and there was a child's voice. I don't know what it said, but so yeah, I'm quite kind of, I could accept that could have just been a dream, but it felt very realistic.
So it felt very realistic, and here we are at the starting point, I guess, of creating a piece of performance, a piece of art around the paranormal, which is at one extreme there is, of course it was a dream, you know, because it's all rubbish, and at the other extreme is, well, we don't know. In fact, that might be the middle, because at the other extreme is probably, yeah, that was a ghost, that was a verifiable experience, and we're in this world of paranormal. So there was your story, and you've brought together with Curtis James and you know, creative project, the idea of, I don't know, I guess offering some exploration of that in a theatrical and using other media form.
Yeah, and actually the theme of sort of the darker side of imagination and dreams and the nighttime have always been interesting to me, and have kind of featured in music that I make. And in fact, you know, the name I'm performing under on the night, Black Channels, is a music group that I'm in with a singer. And that's the very thing we explore, the kind of darker side of, you know, human nature and I suppose some occult kind of things and paranormal things. But yeah, the evening itself is, I suppose, yeah, it's an attempt to explore these themes in a creative, artistic way, and not particularly try and answer any questions or make any statements, but just kind of put it out there. And I think, for me, the passion comes from the fact that I want to believe it's real. I grew up with Curtis, who was my brother, happens to be my brother. I grew up in quite a spiritual family, where my mum was very spiritual, not religious spiritual, but kind of she believed in the spirit world. And so I rebelled against that as a child, and it wasn't easy, that side of life. But it certainly now is something that I enjoy exploring, maybe a slight distance, a slight remove through music and sound.
But am I hearing, just the way you footnoted that with it could have been a dream, is your starting point sceptical?
No, I don't think it is. I think that I would question most things. You know, if you tell me something, I'm going to question it. And whether that's seeing a ghost or, you know, saying you saw a bus crash earlier, I'm gonna ask questions about it and not just instantly believe it. So yeah, it's not certainly not a starting point. It's just something that I would, you know, bring to it.
And I guess creatively, when you look at this kind of field, there is film, there is audio, there is direct witness, there are photos. You've almost got too much material to play with, haven't you?
Yeah, there's a hell of a lot of material, and you know, from the kind of silly to the the absolutely chilling and terrifying that, you know, I've sat in my studio listening to it and felt very uncomfortable. But I think it's just, for me, it's finding the moments that are, what I like about the stuff that I've used for this performance is that it's all British cases. It's all kind of 1970s, but very much like suburbia. And it's all in council houses, or it's not in big mansions. And in fact, I have to sort of give credit to Adam Curtis, because an article he wrote definitely inspired me to kind of follow this path. But yeah, it's about, you know, I look at the images and I kind of read about the stories, and I think that was like my childhood. You know, I grew up in that kind of bedroom or that kind of house, and I can see, and you know, there's obviously all of the stuff around, you know, is this about the emotional state of the people involved, often teenage girls, and yeah, I think I feel some kind of connection with maybe a difficult childhood or experiences that might be confusing and might cause someone to pretend to do something, or might, if you're the other way of belief, might bring forth these poltergeists into our world, you know, to cause some kind of, you know, to have some fun and do their business.
Now, I don't want any spoilers, because yeah, this sort of thing, you know, it is the mystery that needs to unfold before us when we go and witness it live. Mm. But in terms of, it's called Two Knocks for Yes. Yeah. How did it, give us a few little hints of how it got made.
Well, the piece that I'm performing, that it's about 26.7 minutes, it started off life as a studio production. You know, I gathered archive material from TV documentaries, so interviews with people involved in poltergeist activity and some of the investigators. So I gathered a lot of archive material and chopped out the best bits, run it through strange tape manipulation and echo effects. And then to the musical side of things comes from, I play a Buchla synthesizer. It's a modular synthesizer, so it's made up of different modules that you interconnect. It looks a bit like a telephone patch-based system. And it's basically, it excels at otherworldly strange sounds. So I mix those sounds through lots of space echo and strange effects with this archive material. And it's, you know, it was a very time-consuming process to kind of create these moments and try and, I suppose, underscore these activities that were happening. So I created that actually last year, and I think Curtis has always been keen that maybe we could do it as a live performance. And actually it coincides this year, the piece itself comes out on a limited edition cassette, in time for Halloween. And the live performance will be similar, but there'll be different elements and extra bits that aren't in the recorded version. And it'll obviously be different because I'm performing parts of the music live. In fact, it's what I'm working on at the moment, just creating new sounds, patching the modular up and trying to create interesting, you know, I kind of wrote down on a piece of paper earlier, you know, what makes a sound frightening? Because it's, you know, it's an interesting question, and I don't know the answer. And I don't think I necessarily set out to make scary sounds. I just think I like to make sounds that are suggestive of another world or another place that isn't this that we know.
And 26 minutes is at the shorter end of theatre performance, but not necessarily at the shorter end of a piece of music.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a piece of music. I'd call it a kind of maybe a radiophonic collage or a sound collage. It's definitely much more of a kind of experimental radio thing than a piece of music, although it contains musical elements. And it's not exactly theatre either. There are visuals that we'll be playing that have got video clips taken from these old documentaries. Sorry, I'm being put off by this baby crying. Maybe it's some kind of manifestation or something troubling it. Yeah, exactly, pinching it. Yes, it's somewhere in between music and experimental radio feature.
I'm also interested in, there are almost now cliche horror sounds from the movies we know, and you know, the footage we've seen. Is that sound different from what you imagine or what you've experienced of the paranormal? Because, you know, the noises that I guess are in the collective consciousness at the moment are the noises you hear in The Exorcist and you know, the Two Knocks for Yes. Is that how it is in the way you've researched it, or is there something else?
I think there's something else, and I think those sounds that we might kind of recognise instantly as being connected to a horror film soundtrack, they just come from the traditional way of doing soundtracks. So, you know, I suppose in the past that would be an orchestra. So it's, you know, high piercing violins or it's clashing piano and sounds like that. Whereas I think for me, and probably in the more experimental area of film as well, there's much more interesting sounds out there than orchestras. I love orchestras and you can do lots of cool things with them, and I absolutely respect those composers that would have that palette and nothing else, and they would manage to create all these amazing, you know, this tension and these feelings and emotions from that kind of that simple palette, if you want, compared to what I get to work with, which is almost an open-ended kind of box of sounds, you know, like electronics or, you know, found sounds, concrete, you know, music concrete kind of stuff and tape manipulation. I'm very lucky. I get to, because for me, I suppose the paranormal is like a strange, twisted version of what we know. It's like, you know, it's seeing a person, but it's not a person. It's because it's something unknown and we don't quite understand it. So for me, I'd rather take maybe recognisable sounds and do a similar kind of twist them a little bit, put them through echo or play them backwards. And it's simple stuff, but it's how you layer it up and it's how you sequence it, I think, how you arrange it that makes it different and unusual. I mean, I'm not doing anything particularly pioneering. I'm really not. I'm taking what the pioneers of the 50s and 60s in music concrete have been doing, you know, for a long time. And I suppose just doing it in my own way, I hope, that makes it as original as I can make it.
And you've chosen a haunted venue.
Yeah. Well, is it haunted, isn't it? I don't know. I mean, it's...
There's that cynic again. That skeptic.
Yeah. I think it... There are stories that we've heard from talking to people when we've been arranging, you know, to use the venue. And it's true that there's still the burial crypt underneath the pews there that's never been removed. St. Andrew's Church, yeah, in Waterloo Street. Yeah, who knows? There's definitely, you know, there's a lot of history in those walls, and maybe the strange oscillations and sounds that I'm playing might tempt some of them out on the night.
Final question. As a performer, as a creator of work, particularly in this area, how has this disrupted you?
Disrupted?
Yeah, how has it changed you making it?
Well, I don't do a lot of live work. I don't perform live that much, although I've been doing a lot more in the last couple of years. So straight away it forces me to into that moment of, well, the moment like we're in now, you know, this isn't edited, we're just having a conversation. Yeah. And I'm not used to that because my background is in very strictly controlled produced music, where I can spend weeks and weeks and weeks fiddling, going back to it, changing this bit, changing that by 2 decibels, moving that by a millimeter. So that's what I'm used to, but doing it live is very different. You just have to, you know, that's been a steep learning curve for me to get used to kind of going out there and taking the equipment that I use, which doesn't always lend itself to being used live, and putting that into a live environment and trying to make it interesting and rewarding for me and an audience. So yeah, I wouldn't use the word disruption, but it's certainly been a kind of a positive force in my creativity, I think.
Artistic, musical, live dealings with the dead at St. Andrew's Church. Simon, thanks very much.
Thank you.